Welcome to the Honor Pursuit Podcast, where we connect with entrepreneurs, movers, shakers, and business owners who've built amazing things on the pursuit of their goals and dreams. And I'm your host, Brendan Boyd.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Honor Pursuit Podcast. On this podcast, we interview 6, 7, and 8-figure entrepreneurs. This one is really, really special because I'm feeling some toxic energy over here. This is an amazing individual I had the opportunity of meeting a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
But we already locked in, and I found out she has a brand new book that she's going to be sharing with the people and giving a lot of information and a lot of game. Dinah Sade, welcome to the podcast.
That's right. You said it right. I'm so proud of you.
I mean, I've been, you know, we've been hanging out a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know,
a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's going on here?
What?
What, like, what you got going on?
What do you mean? What do I got? What I do you mean, got going on?
All of that.
All of that?
Yeah. Like, you got all this red. You know what I'm saying? You got, like, what's going on?
I literally came in here. I got off of work. I came here. What's up? What do you mean?
I mean, listen, maybe.
Is it crazy?
Maybe they might see what I see. You know what I'm saying? So, what's going on? Because when I met you, right?
Yeah.
You were talking about apps and tech and everything, and then I followed up with you and I found out you have a new book, or yeah, you're putting out a book, but it's not about apps, it's not about tech.
Yeah.
So what is it about?
So what I wrote was basically a way to communicate to the people what they need to hear. And so if I need to be the voice for that, I'm going to send my toxic energy out, and I'm going to let everybody know what they really need to know about toxic dating. So I realized that the world was out there and they were talking about 5 love languages and all this stuff, but what really needs to be talked about is the other side of it, the dark side of dating. And so that's what this book is about. And obviously, as a business owner, your personal life comes into play, right? So whatever you are doing in your personal life, it's gonna affect your business. So I figured, get to the root of the problem, talk about what's really going on in your personal life, fix that, and then you could be unstoppable.
So you're saying toxicity is ruining or creating friction in business for individuals?
Absolutely. I mean, think about people that start businesses, they get them taken away because they enter in toxic relationships. Some people's lives just go into shambles because they don't know who to partner with and find the right relationships, and then they end up losing it all, or they just end up being very depressed because they got out of a bad relationship. So if you could head that off at the pass and be in a healthy relationship, then the rest of your life should flourish. And so it's the best chance at being successful, healthy, and having just a well-balanced life, especially as an entrepreneur.
So what level of toxicity are you? Let's just get right to it.
Okay, so I am or I was? Because those are two different people.
Well, why don't we start where we at right now, okay, then we can go back a little bit. So what level of toxicity are you right now?
So right now, I would say I'm at a controlled level of toxic energy.
We mean controlled.
What I mean by that is I am aware, which is awareness is like when you have an addiction and you're like, okay, hi, my name is Bob and I have an addiction, right? That's the hardest part, is admitting you got a problem, right? And so when you think about, you know, being able to admit that and being aware of it, now I can be conscious of it. Now I can work around it. Now I can let people know, you know, what triggers me or what to look out for. Because if you hit somebody out, and I say, like, in the book, basically it's like Jekyll and Hyde, right? And there's different, like, basically there's different stages of a relationship that happens in every single relationship, even if it's a mother, daughter, father, son, and lovers, right? So when it comes down to that, you're gonna see different versions of yourself, and there's a certain part that people are triggered, and that's when that comes out, the monster, I call it, right? And so that's when we usually have our red flags, all that stuff happens. And at the end of the day, like, it's best to kind of know what you're in for with somebody. You know, you wanna know someone's, they say, like, intimacy means into me see, right? So it's seeing into somebody's not just good parts, but also their bad parts.
Their good parts and also their bad parts.
Yeah.
So what is someone getting into with you right now?
Well, for me, I'm at a level where, you know, I like a little toxicity, meaning I don't want somebody to be, like, completely, not a pushover, but I don't want them to be just, like, have no personality and do everything I say. I need that strength in a man.
So I feel like you're giving me a real surface level. You're not giving me no real examples. So,
all right, you want examples?
So what level of toxic are you?
Okay.
Awareness is fine. What does that mean?
So what it means is that I know that I am what we call in my book, the star. And so for me...
Oh, so you concede it.
Well, obviously.
Oh, I just wanted to clear it up.
I mean, you're conceited too, right?
I don't know.
I hope
you tell
so.
Me. You're the toxic queen. I don't know. I haven't dove into my toxic levels.
Yeah. So, I mean, as far as like the way that the star works, it's literally kind of like more about the fact that on the one side, the star is bright, right? It's shiny. It's beautiful. But on the other side, it's dark. So on both sides,
so what's
I oscillate
your dark
in between.
Side?
My dark side is, you know, I could be, you know, I could do some things.
What are the things?
Oh my God, he really wants to know right now. Okay.
If you ain't coming here tonight,
I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna
see
tell
how you came in here, calling my name and all of that.
I did, cause I want to know your toxic language.
Okay.
And I'm gonna tell you what you are.
So
too.
What's your
Watch.
Dark side?
Watch.
What's your dark side?
So my dark side is I can be a little. Well, first of all, I've spoken all five languages, but the one that I'd say I do most now is I could run away from problems. So I don't like to face them. If they get too complicated, I will just drop everything and I'll just be gone. I will be a ghost.
All right, so let me see this. So your toxic level is that of awareness.
Yeah.
So then when you become aware that it's a place where you can communicate, yeah. You run away.
Well, no. So like if I see things that I don't like that trigger me, instead of being a person that runs closer and tries to get more validation, I'll be a person that's like, you know what? I've seen this before. I'm not even going to try to give this a chance. I'm out.
So basically, you're allowing past situations,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
to have some type of influence,
yeah,
on new situations.
Absolutely.
That the guy that you might be seeing has absolutely nothing to do with, and
yeah,
you're not
much.
Communicating with him?
Well, I mean, so because I'm aware of it now, I wouldn't say that I do it every time. But say, for example, if somebody messes up and say it's been 3 times and I see 3 different situations, I'm going to be like, all right, look, it's over. And instead of trying to work things out and communicate like what I saw, like what my issues are, like how I feel about it, I'll just be like, listen, it's over.
So you're not going to communicate with the dude?
Yeah. No.
So, okay. So he's just going to call you, text you, get no calls back, no texts back.
When I tell you I disappear, it's like I never existed. That's how I am.
But isn't that unhealthy?
Well, yeah, I didn't say I had it all figured out, but I'm saying if I am anything,
yeah,
that's where I am right now. And that's what I'm trying to fix.
Okay.
But I haven't been in a relationship in a while, like probably 4 or 5
I can see why.
Months.
Because you're doing things like
that.
And when's
the last time you've been in a relationship, Brendan?
I mean, I have. It's been 2019.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
but I'm not
four
I'm not
months versus
away.
4 years.
You ain't say, listen, I'm not running away. I'm just choosing different things.
Listen, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I'm aware of it. So,
yeah.
This is when I wrote the book, is after I got out of that last situation. And so, for me, it's like, that's what actually was in a kind of a light bulb moment. And I was like, all right, this is exactly what I'm doing, and I need to fix it. So, I wouldn't say that that's something I'm going to do in my next relationship.
Gotcha.
I'm very aware of it. And it's something that, like, I'm vowing to myself to make sure I work on, and also just choosing a healthy partner in the first place will eliminate a lot of those things.
Yeah. So what is a healthy partner?
So
I need to know if I'm healthy.
Yeah. I mean, you're not, definitely. So
wow.
I can just let you know that now.
That's crazy.
No, so like a healthy partner is going to be definitely somebody that wants to look at themselves.
Are you more focused now since you're off this? You get more serious?
This is
the glasses?
This is serious.
This
toxic serious? Queen right
okay,
now.
Let's get it.
This is therapy session.
All right.
This is toxic therapy now. We've now gone to the next phase of the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. You ready?
I mean, yeah, let's go.
Because I've been taking notes this whole time.
Mm.
Just to let you know.
Okay.
So
yeah, I need to know if I'm healthy or not.
Okay. So I thought you wanted to know what a healthy partner looks like.
I know. So I can determine if I'm healthy.
I already told you you're not. But okay. So what I describe is not going to be you, just so you know.
Okay.
All right. So it's somebody that...
So you're giving a disclaimer here?
I'm giving it a soft disclaimer.
All right.
So a healthy person, in my opinion, again, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a therapist, anything like that, but I have been to therapy. I have, you know, years of experience doing personal development. In my opinion, it's just somebody that is able to look at themselves, look and be honest about where they're triggered, right? Like, we're all triggered, and that's not a bad thing. But it's also somebody that's not carrying their shame.
Mm.
Because when you carry your shame into a relationship, you're going to be more triggered. You're going to want to hide things. And that's the way that you are able to kind of connect with somebody. And I call that the runner, somebody that wants to hide away from their shame. They don't want to, you know, be vulnerable. There's even something called a vulnerability hangover. When you feel like overexposed, it makes you feel very scared, right? And so people experience that all the time where they just feel like, you know, if, for example, like for a long time, I was scared to tell somebody I want a long-term relationship. And so I was nervous that saying those words would, you know, ultimately like trigger somebody to be like, oh, that's too much, right?
So overexposed would be you sharing more of like what you would like or what your expectations are, that overexposed?
Anything. So I've been hurt in the past. This is what happened. Because ultimately what we're doing is we're giving someone the ammo against us. Because if they know what our soft spots are, our trigger points are, then they can use it against you. And for us, a lot of times, it's a way of defending ourselves to be protected and say, I'm not going to let this person have any power over me. Mm. Right? So, and that's why in stages of relationship, there's a bliss point, and then there's eventually what's called a power struggle. And that's when you're going to see where that time comes out, where things you've opened up to somebody at the bliss point, when you felt safe and trustworthy of somebody, where they're going to potentially use those things against you, right?
Mm.
So...
Is your revenue stuck? If you're an entrepreneur and your revenue is stuck, you don't need to fix your products or services. You need new audiences to discover you more consistently. Podcast guesting is the ideal way to be discovered 24 hours a day by your ideal clients. And guess what? The more people that know you, the more people can flow you. Head over to podcastmasterypack.com and take advantage of your first or next podcast. Let's go.
So it's like, why would you even want to get in a situation and it's like, that person collecting all this intel that y'all get into, like, I don't know, maybe argument or you have a disagreement about something.
Yeah.
And that person gonna just use everything that they know about you against you.
Well, I'm not saying everybody does it. I'm just saying that, like...
Florida, bro.
I don't know what is going on here. I got attacked by, like, a snake already. And maybe it was you. I don't know. Just kidding.
Okay.
So, yeah, like, in terms of... Like the when it comes to that kind of point and we see that and we feel like they might use it against it, doesn't mean they're going to, right? Like you could be vulnerable with somebody and you know, you could tell them things, but it's up to your partner if they're gonna actually like use that against you. And if you're in an unhealthy balanced relationship, such as the Joker, which I refer to as kind of the textbook narcissist, they are usually doing that. So they're usually collecting information. A lot of people could probably relate to this, right? So when you're in a relationship with somebody and they kind of have this facade and they, you know, are acting very vulnerable with you, and a lot of times, sometimes they're just using that to get into your head, to find out what makes you tick, what bothers you, and then eventually they end up using it against you. And that's usually going to be more of the kind of what I call like the Joker, which is kind of the textbook narcissist.
That's crazy. So does that put you in a situation now with the love language, or not love language, the toxic, you know, mm-hmm. version of yourself that you are right now. Do you believe that you can be healthy in a relationship, or are you really in this toxic energy right now?
So the reason why I label it the five toxic languages is because we can be any type of language depending on who our partner is.
Yeah.
So if we're with somebody that's what I call the clinger, they usually need to be, they're very anxious, they need security, they need to be around you, they need reassurance all the time.
Does that seem like it's more men or women?
So I think in standard society, it comes off more as women, but I think it's equal, honestly.
Could you deal with a clingy dude right now?
Well, I mean, that would mean that he's toxic in that sense. If he's aware that he's clinging and he's willing to work on it, then I would say yes.
So you're high productive and value entrepreneur, right? You're busy, you're on the phones, you're making deals, you're running the company.
Yeah.
Could you deal with a dude calling you a bunch of times a day? Is that something that is like, oh, babe, checking on me, like, you know, I like the attention, or is it like, bro, I'm trying to close a deal, relax?
I think that there's a fine line. And I, again, like if I were to be in a relationship now and experience that, which hopefully I won't be attracted to, nor one will be attracted to me, like in that sense, I would say, listen, like we need to have a conversation. And if he is healthy, he would be receptive to the fact that I'm saying, look, tell me what I can do. Like I was actually just listening to somebody say like how they were able to get through this. They said, you know, I respected the fact that my wife wanted me home at a certain time because I overwork. And so I said, listen, between these hours, I'll be home every day, but then I'm going to go and work at the office at home and we'll have our time together. So as a clinger or a person that's more anxious is able to see consistency, they will start to develop the trust, because a lot of people forfeit trust up front, right? A lot of people are like, you know what? If they burn me, it's okay. I just won't, you know, can I swear?
Yeah, go crazy.
They won't fuck with me again, right? So at the end of the day, like there's people that they give it to you up front, but a lot of people are just like, no, I'm not going to trust this person at all. And if they earn it over time, then it's okay. So that's more of the people that are going to, you know.
So you like, it's interesting, right? Because you promoting toxicity, but you kind of smart at the same time.
So
like, how, it's like you're aware. You're very aware of what's going on.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's... So I think that in like the book I mentioned that we're kind of navigating through a landmine, a field of landmines, because we don't understand why people are doing things like ghosting and being toxic and having these red flags. And, you know, what the book is about is creating more of a unveiling of what's really going on. Like, why do people ghost? Why do people do these things that are seemingly toxic?
Yeah.
And it's a way to kind of put the mirror back on ourselves and say, well, what attracted to me to this person in the first place? But also say, okay, they did some really shitty stuff to me. But like, that's not my fault. A person can only love me at the level they're able to love themselves, right? So if that's the case, then why would I expect somebody to love me the way that I love myself?
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, at the end of the day, like, if it, I loved this analogy. For anyone that's been cheated on, basically somebody said, when somebody cheats on you, it's like someone's stealing from you. Would you blame yourself if you stole $100 from me? Like, I didn't see it coming because I thought you were a trustworthy person. You stole from me, and that makes you the shitty person, right? Yeah. So why do we look at cheating differently? Like, why do we put so much shame on the person that got cheated on that decided to trust somebody? So we have all these, like, really terrible habits in society to, like, say, like, oh, they got played. It's like, no, like, that person was shitty to do that, you know? And at the same time, it's like having empathy on ourselves to say it wasn't my fault, you know? And maybe the things that were our fault we can work on. And how do we work on them? How do I realize that maybe I'm a clinger and I need, you know, too much of somebody's energy, and so they push me away because they're like, this is too much for me? How do we realize those things? How do we, you know, oscillate into what is a balance for somebody?
I want to talk about this book.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the inspiration for this book. But before we do that, what I want to know is, what are you looking for in someone that you could date at this point in your life?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just based off of, like, you know, you're talking about your level of awareness, the toxic level that you are, what traits or what characteristics would someone, is it a guy, is it a girl? Okay.
Person. I'm just kidding, guy.
Person. Guy.
Yeah.
What type of trace characteristic does he need to kind of like match what you got going on that could complement you well?
Yeah, so I mean, the reason why I wrote this book is to kind of, it was a therapy for me, you know? So it was like, as I was going through the stories, I was seeing so much of myself, and it was a very vulnerable moment. I mean, I'm sharing things that, you know, make me look like, wow, like, I can't believe she did that. Like, that was stupid. You know, like, I talk about the fact that, like, I don't want to give away a huge reveal of the book, but basically, I got it stood up to something very, very important in a girl's life. And so it's one of these things where I'm like, I'm very vulnerable. And it was my learning lesson and my kind of like therapy to get to the next level of who I am.
The book.
The book was.
Writing it.
Yeah, definitely. And it was almost like self-discovery. And so because of that, like, I feel like I want somebody that's also gone there with themselves. You know, like, there's a point in our lives where we, you know, we're like, we have to make a decision. Like, if we want to go to the next level or if we want to perpetuate the same shit we've done all our lives. So I say in the book, for example, I'm like, do you ever see a fly that keeps banging itself against a window? And you're like, why does this fly keep doing that?
I see birds do that all the time.
Birds? Well, that sounds crazy. That sounds like a horror movie type.
No, birds do that. Like, just a quick little sidebar. I have this like atrium by my house right outside.
Oh, yeah.
And I came home one day, and there's like, on top of the atrium, there's like this window.
Yeah.
And you can, as a bird, you can fly to the top and just fly out.
Yeah.
There's nothing holding you.
It's right there.
It's super open.
It's right there.
The bird flew up to the atrium and just kept banging himself on the window.
Yeah.
Over and over
again. It's like, it's right there. It looks like it's what I need, but it's not what you need.
That's crazy.
Right. So what I say after that is like, let me take it a step further. Have you dated the same person all your life, but just with a different face?
I probably have. Yeah.
Right. So
I like pretty faces.
Well, you know, maybe you can get one with a personality next time. I mean, I'm just kidding. If you're an ex, I don't know your life.
Listen, I'm picking with personalities now and pretty faces. I look for personality.
All right, but it's been 4 years, so what's up?
I'm focused on me.
Okay, good. You could do the same.
I know, but I haven't found them. But you know what I felt? I felt like God has kept me away from distractions.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
So do you ever hear that one joke that the guy was out missing at sea, and he's like, God, save me. And he's like, God's not answering.
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, God, save me again. And then finally he's like, I sent the boat for you 3 times. You just didn't get on.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
All right, great.
Yeah. So I haven't had no boats. There was no boats.
Please, maybe you just don't want to see the boats.
No. There's been no boats. And I'll tell you, like,
I don't know.
Listen, okay, I'll give you an example. I've had no problems dating or, you know, connecting with women,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But over the past, I'd say maybe like 4 years, it hasn't been difficult. It hasn't been like it's been in the past.
Yeah.
And I'm attributed to because my energy's not on that. Like when my energy was on that, it was like number, date, whatever.
Yeah, but it was not the right type of thing.
Yeah. So, but now, since I'm like focused on business, focused on growing, focused on my personal development, all the things I'm growing in and becoming, all them other things, they just, something would always happen preventing it from moving forward.
Right,
So I just looked at it like, yo, just God's just keeping distractions away from me.
Yeah, and it's funny because usually in those situations, that's when the right person comes along.
She ain't come.
Well, that is why, because you're saying that to yourself.
No. What am I saying to myself?
The videos we have playing in our head, the videotape or the sounds and the ideas, that's what's attracting.
But it's self-awareness. It's at the same time. It's like, I'm self-aware that the more energy I put in developing myself, you know, self-discovery, personal development, business, learning, is less time that I have to like go out and find someone. You know what I'm saying? Right.
Okay.
So if I run into someone out and about at the gym, shopping, traveling, right? Over the past 4 years, it hasn't developed into anything.
Gotcha.
Anyone I spoke to.
Yeah.
So since I'm more cognizant and aware, I'm like, okay, cool. I see what's going on. I just need to focus on what I got going on, continue to build and develop. She gonna come.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's true, right? But also at the same time, like if we're not putting ourselves out there, like if you're kind of like working from home all the time and not really setting yourself up for it,
you don't have opportunities.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, facts.
Yeah, if you're not shooting enough darts, then nothing's gonna get on the board.
You can't hit the board.
And I feel like you probably have really bad aim. So
wow, bad aim. That's crazy.
Just saying.
That's crazy. So okay, you said the book helped you, right? It was therapy.
Yeah.
Right. So what are these characters that you created that are in the book, and why are they important to acknowledging toxicity?
So.
And you said you played all these roles?
I played all of them.
That's why you know them so well.
Of course.
So you're like toxic times five.
Literally. Yeah, of course. Maybe more than that.
Probably. I can feel it.
Good. I'm glad that I'm doing my job. So. So the toxic languages are not just like some random anonymous like thing that I came up with. They're actually based off of what's called attachment theory. And attachment theory happens like when we're kids. So what they say is it's cradle to grave. With the things we experience and we consider love when we're like 0 through 4 is what we actually develop and chase our whole life, because ultimately we're actually not chasing love, we're chasing familiarity.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right? So because of that, we're always kind of groomed from that age, and it's called attachment theory. It's by John Bowlby that back in like the 70s, 80s, he came up with this.
Did you read that?
I did, yeah, and I studied it a great deal, and it was the only thing that made the most sense to me. Because what I find is we're in like this culture of kind of like dichotomy where it's either you are a bad guy or a good guy, and it's either you're a narc or you're a healthy person. And what I say in the book is that, hey, I hate to break it to you, but we are all toxic. We all have red flags. It's just a matter of how we're triggered and when we're triggered. It's not a matter of if, it's when. So at that, you know, at that time, I was like, you know what? Taking this whole narc mentality thing and pointing the finger and saying, you're a narcissist and you're evil and you're toxic, to me, it didn't make sense because it doesn't give us empathy, nor does it put us in the right vibration.
Yeah, it's boxing people.
Yeah, and it's also like, if I gotta be angry, what does that do to my energy? I don't want to be angry anymore. Like, I want to be like buoyant and happy and loving and happy and excited. So if I have to go down to that level of anger, then I'm not healing, right? So if I have to be angry, rather than saying, oh, they're extremely wounded. Like they went through a lot of trauma and they haven't ever healed from that. And so the languages are anxious attachment, which is like the clinger. There's the Joker, who's the textbook narcissist.
I've never been that.
I don't know. I get some narc vibes from here.
That's cap.
No.
I've never been that. You're putting on right now.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you. Actually, you might be more than one. I have a feeling. There's the runner. The runner is the person who's considered dismissive avoidant. They tend to run away from relationships as they start to get more serious.
Definitely do that, for sure. I used to be that.
Okay, so you used to.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you what you are now, and I'm going to tell you why you are. All right, and then...
You self-diagnosed me?
Yeah, and then there's a star. I am the star. And then there's the fixer. The fixer is kind of the textbook person that wants to have a fixer-upper project and make it like all perfect, but really
I feel like people kind of fall into that.
A lot of people do. Yeah.
That seems kind of like typical.
Yeah. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, why would I want to fix myself when I can fix somebody else and it doesn't feel as bad?
Yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So do you want to know what you
got? Wait. Okay. So I want to recap so people know. So you got the fixer.
Yeah.
The star.
The Joker.
The runner. The runner.
Yeah.
And then.
Which one? Oh, the clinger.
The clinger. Yeah. So clinger, fixer, runner, star, Joker.
Yeah.
I know these by heart.
You don't know them.
I told you what they were.
You know them, but you don't know them. You got to read the book to find out. Yeah.
How long is the book?
It's about 117-ish pages.
Is it a quick read?
It is a quick read.
Because a lot of people don't like to read.
It's on Audible.
And there's a lot of information.
Okay.
So this is something that everyone should consume.
Yeah.
And I know you got an audiobook.
Correct.
So... they can experience on audiobook.
They can do the Audible, and the voice is phenomenal. As soon as I heard the narrator, I was like, oh my God, she's perfect. I would have loved to do it myself.
Voice.
Yeah, I would have loved to do it myself.
So you're a runner.
Touche. I have been a runner, obviously. But yeah, no, I mean, at the end of the day, we consume, that's why in the Bible, not to bring up the Bible, but
what's wrong with
Jesus
the Bible?
Spoke, because I'm talking about toxic and swearing. Sorry, Jesus.
Bible is just basic instructions before leaving Earth. It's not even a religious book.
Oh, God. We're not going to have this conversation. But anyway, Jesus spoke in parables, right? And the reason being is that stories are easier to consume. So the reason why there's two reasons why I speak in stories. One, it's more entertaining. It's easier to consume.
Yeah.
And it's easier to relate, right? But two, I think that we're all trying to hide things that have happened to us. And I think it's more of a newer thing for us to be like, oh, this happened to me. But for so long, we've gone I'm not going to tell people about it because it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the world doesn't need more embarrassment, more shame, and more hiding of the truth. People need to be like, oh my God, I can relate to what happened to her. I can relate to the narcissist doing this incredibly hurtful thing in an important moment of my life. And it devastated me.
So is this good for men and women?
Of course, yeah.
So your book can help. You really wrote this book to help people.
So the way that I say it is, this is the book that took a lifetime to write. Whole life, my collection of experiences, my obsession over personal development that literally, I'm telling you, I'm obsessed over. I just wanted to learn, what is going on? Why is it that, I get in these relationships, I'm attracting the wrong people. And I saw the greatest Instagram post recently. It was you're attractive and you only attract, toxic people. And the girl goes, no, you're attractive and you're choosing only the toxic people.
Yeah, I like that.
So it's when we can understand, why am I choosing this? It's because, maybe because I was abandoned at a young age. And so I look for people that will abandon me. Or I look for people that will, smother me because it feels familiar. All these things were just chasing reenactments of our childhood. Or they're called big T's and little T's. So big traumas will cause an actual chemical change in your brain. That's why this book isn't just about one theory. I incorporate epigenetics. This is some crazy stuff. Yeah. So I'm a big
What are epigenetics?
So Joe Dispenza has this book called Becoming Supernatural. It's probably one of the most amazing books ever.
So you sent me one?
You can listen to it. I got it on Audible. I'm just going to let you listen to it. But he says that literally, he healed himself from an injury that they said he could never walk again.
Was it a brain injury?
It was a back injury. He was hit by a car during a marathon. So what he did was he basically was able to heal himself through thought alone. Mm. And they've done studies where they literally took a group of people and they took these guys and they put some guys in a room and had them visualize working out and some people not working out or actually working out. And there was a 30% growth in their muscles from the people that just visualized working out. So it goes back to placebo effect
and
all that.
So I need to start visualizing. I'm going to have a wife.
Listen, you need to visualize a lot of things, Brendan.
You cap.
More muscles or something so you can lift that table.
Cap.
No, yeah, visualize your girlfriend. Why wouldn't you? What do you want her to look like?
First of all, I said visualize my wife, okay?
Ooh.
Not my girlfriend. You need to stand
corrected. Well, in order for her
corrected.
To become your wife.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to think long term. I don't want just a girlfriend.
That's beautiful. That's good. That's good.
Exactly. So what? Right. So which one am I? Since you so elegantly know. And you got, it was dope though. You was telling me off camera, you got a test so people can kind of figure out which one they are.
Exactly. Yeah.
So once they figure out what they are, do you advise that they go right to that chapter or should they start from the beginning?
Well, because what it is we are the toxic language depending on the person we're with, which is why I've spoke all five languages. Mm. It's important to know not just what you are right now, but what the other languages are as well.
Makes sense.
I would say if you want to just go straight to it and read that, then it's fine. But take the quiz, find out what you are, and then read the whole book, obviously.
Dope.
Because it's my book.
So which one am I?
I don't know specifically what you were in the past, but I would say right now you're probably going to be the fixer. And you want to know why?
The fixer, yeah. Let me know.
Because it's what you do as a business owner. Mm-hmm. And so you just are groomed to kind of want to improve people's lives.
Oh, okay.
And I could see you wanting to be with somebody that probably, you know, that you can help. Maybe you have a little bit of a savior complex.
Damn, that's kind of crazy right there.
Is it true?
I think
so. But is it true?
Maybe a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit. So, like...
But the good news is that at the end of each chapter, yeah, I tell you how to work on it. How
Where's
to
your
fix
book
it.
At? Fix. Can a fixer be fixed?
A fixer can be fixed by not doing other people's fixing,
yeah,
by
facts.
Fixing themselves. You know,
yeah.
It's like. But I mean, I'm sure you've done been a lot of the different languages. I'm sure, like as I've talked through them.
Can I tell you something that did crazy? And you let me know which one it is.
Oh, yeah.
So all right. So boom, there's this girl I used to date, and I used to have like. Anger issues.
Oh,
very surprising, I know.
Yeah.
I used to have these crazy anger issues, right? And it's because, like, I've been through a lot of death in my life.
Yeah.
So I didn't really have a way to process it.
Yeah.
And we were dating. Mm. So, like, I remember, Shay, I came to my house. We got into a fight. We'd always get into these fights.
Yeah.
Like, just verbal dispute. It's probably over something stupid.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Okay.
And then I know she was trying to leave my house and go home. And she lived, like, 45 minutes from me.
Yeah.
So what I did was she got in the car. I went to her windshield wipers. I bent them. So, like, if it rained.
No, you did
not. So, if it rained, she couldn't, like.
You were trying to destroy her whole life. You were like, I'm not going to catch a body for
Yo,
this. But indirectly, I'll make her run off the road. Like.
But you know what? The type of toxicity I used to be when I was way younger.
Yeah.
Is, like, I would do something wild. And then I would like, replace it or fix it right away.
Okay, okay.
So, another time, same girl.
Yeah.
We were going to the mall.
Yeah.
And, like, we got in an argument in the car.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Oh, God.
I took a phone, rolled the window down, threw the joint out the car.
You know has this happened to anyone else? I feel like this like is like the norm for a lot of people these
days. It's crazy,
days.
Right?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I've had crazy stuff like that.
I didn't have parents, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I didn't have parents. I didn't know how to process my anger.
Okay.
I didn't have any mentors.
How did you work on yourself? What did you do?
It's kind of like what you said earlier. Like, I got to the point where it's like, I don't want to live like that no
yeah,
more.
Yeah.
I knew I was doing wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like one of the biggest things is like, I couldn't control my anger.
Yeah.
But I was conscious that like, you got to control your anger.
Yeah.
So like you and I would have a conversation and I would just get irate.
Yeah.
And I know I lost because
mm-hmm.
I lost my composure.
Yeah.
And it was like, man, you can't, you gotta like, yeah. even if you're upset, you gotta be calm.
So, yeah.
So then I just started investing in like, personal development, reading, meditating.
Of course.
Like reprogram the way I thought.
Yeah.
Or talk to myself with power, things like
nice.
That. And then over time.
So that's amazing. And I love that you took that journey. But I think that one thing I want to make sure I highlight is you never want to control your anger. You want to learn how to release it.
Well, yeah,
because
for
every
sure.
man, like for men's emotions, that men process emotions way different from females, obviously, right? But for men, anger is actually just pain.
Mm.
So when we can process pain, like that's why I think we get chronic diseases, all these things, because we literally have all these trapped emotions in our body and we don't know how to like actually process them. Like sometimes it's shame, sometimes it's guilt, sometimes it's, and we won't even know, like our brain has a defense mechanism to where we'll actually have like memory suppression. And like, I have a good friend of mine that didn't know why he hated public speaking, right? Until he was like mid 20s and was like, oh, because when I was in kindergarten, somebody laughed at me, the whole class laughed at me. And because I did like a magic trick and it wasn't good.
Yeah.
And he went his whole life not really understanding, but it was in the back of his head and then it clicked, right? Yeah. And so like when he was able to process that and be like, oh, that's all it was, like I'm good. You know what I mean? Like it's sometimes those things that we'll recall from our childhood, different things that happened to us that are able to kind of like give us insight as to why we have certain reoccurring subconscious messages like, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I'm not, you know, like I say, what if we go our whole lives not knowing that we don't even know the fullest extent of love?
Yeah.
Because we're not even searching for love. We're just searching from what the capacity of love is that we've been known to have.
That makes sense.
Or that we've seen. Say we, you know, grew up and our parents got divorced. It's like, okay, so I'm going to attract that a person is never going to stay with me for the rest of my life. And that's what I can expect. You know what I mean? So we kind of subconsciously program these things. And going back to the epigenetics, there's been proof that we can reprogram our DNA by actually just thought alone. And so like when we're able to take these imprints, because if you think about what you know, genetically is happening, even though it's not like a gene, like hair color, all these things, right? The way that you're taught from day one to you being a teenager is going into your subconscious every day as a thought pattern, a limiting belief, all these things, right? And you don't even know that this is being coded into you, right? So you have to actually unlearn so many things, just like I call it love DNA. So my love DNA for a long time was just unhealthy relationships, people that were, you know, emotionally avoidant, all these things, and just like realizing that I was actually wanting that because I didn't think deep down I deserved it, something good. And so when you actually look at it.
You still feel like that?
No, absolutely not.
So you you believe that you deserve something good?
I deserve something not good. Great.
Okay. I was about to say. That's a good one.
Yeah.
So aside from being an author, right, you also run a business.
Yeah.
You got a company.
Yeah.
What's that about?
So, you know, I like to believe that I'm what I call a multi-passionate person.
Okay.
So as much as I love, like, the business side of things, I've been in, you know, the biggest banks in the world. I've worked at in global operations. I've been in investment management funds, all these things where, you know, it was, you know, great to be in corporate, but I always had this, like, hunger to be on the tech side of things and create things. And when I really look at what my tech company is, we create apps. We build mobile applications for people. I know you would never guess that, but... at the end of the day,
toxic tech
I realized,
queen.
Yeah, exactly.
The toxic tech queen.
Yep, TTT. No, TTQ. But listen, so at the end of the day, I was just a creator. I was just literally, I love creating things from inspiration. So I have people that come to me, they're like, Dinah, I really want to create this app to, you know, help end suicide, or like, you know, to help people have a support system for this thing, or veterans that need access to resources. I'm like, I love that you're inspired to do that. Let's create it. So, and then like I was in a girl group. Don't laugh, but.
Singing or rapping?
Singing. Why would you think I'm a rapper? Do I look like?
Yeah.
Maybe I do. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. I should try rapping.
Let's hear something real quick.
You're really going to put me on the spot?
Yeah, let's go.
You didn't think I was ready for this?
Yeah, I did.
Yo, my name is Dinah. I'm just playing.
Exactly. Let's hear the song. Let me hear a little bar.
A bar? Like yeah. Sing or rap?
Yeah, sing.
Really?
Yeah.
Listen, you're not ready for this.
I mean, it's not for me, it's for them.
I'm not doing it. Listen, those days are retired. I'm not singing, but I was
you
in a
can't
girl
sing
group.
For the audience
at the
one
end of
bar?
The day, no, I'm not singing the same one
why
bar.
Why not?
Well, why don't you do
something? Your toxicity is coming.
Are you
going to
harmonize
right
with me?
Yeah, I will.
Yeah? I don't believe you.
Well, you got to let me know what's the line.
I'll let me hear you do like one note.
La 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 la.
See, that's
la,
how
la.
I know you're not a good backup singer from me.
All right, cool.
That was
well,
terrible.
Go ahead.
That was terrible.
Damn, you yeah. ain't even like, you just
so
shoot
my,
me all down.
You're missing my point.
How you know that's not gonna imprint something in my subconscious and block me for the next 5 years?
Well, maybe it'll help no one ever hear that again, because I don't think they need
crazy.
To.
Crazy.
So I realized, like, you know, through music, everything I was doing, I was just like creating through inspiration. And it was like, I wanted to indirectly be able to help people. So it was like my way of being able to channel that energy, being able to help people, being able to like make a difference. So when I see, you know, all these things on social media being like, oh, this happened to me and all these things, I'm like, I have the answer. You know what I mean? Just read this book. Like, I've done the work and I know like the solution to it. Just like understand what's really going on, get down to the bottom yeah. of it. I call it the why, like, you know? And so when you're able to read that and understand like what's really going on, it's like decoding dating. You know, you're empowered through knowledge and you're empowered through like, you know, transparency, so.
What's up, y'all? Listen, if you are a business owner or entrepreneur and you're juggling your email, your text messages, you don't have a CRM, you don't have any automation, you don't even have your social media post scheduled, I have the solution for you. What you wanna do is tap into the lead attraction system. This is an all-in-one system that's gonna handle your text messaging, your email, your CRM, your invoices, get you paid, your digital products, your memberships, your courses, your funnels, and also it's an all-in-one solution. So you can get rid of all these other things. It's in one system. You pay one price every single month, and they also have a weekly office hours. So I don't know what you're waiting for. Tap into the platform and make sure that you grow your business. Lead attraction system. Grab the link below. Let's go.
Now I feel like dating is a little complex.
It
now,
is. It
right
is.
Now. Like,
what do you think is the biggest issue in dating right now?
I think men and women don't really understand each other.
Yeah.
And I think it's heightened more now.
Yeah.
So, like, men feel like, you know, that they gotta, like, really have everything together.
Yeah.
To get, you know, to go out with a girl.
Yeah.
And I feel like women, you know, feel like they deserve a lot.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, there's a little friction there.
Yeah. Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I feel like that's what everybody wants you to believe.
Like, well, I mean, that's what it sounds
the
like.
The media wants you to believe that that's the case. And a lot of the people clickbait.
That's
I won't
Miami,
say any
though.
Names. I won't say any names.
That's Miami's like that.
Yeah, but I mean, okay. Yeah, okay. Let me give you an example.
We in Miami.
I know we are. And that's why we're in the toxic haven. So let me ask you something.
L.A. used to be toxic haven, but it's Miami now.
I don't know. I think it's the West Coast Miami.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's what I'll say to you. So to say to this, like, for a man that's chasing a woman that is attracted to wealth, right? What happens when you lose it all and you lose your girl because she doesn't see you as attractive anymore? Because the thing you use to attract somebody is the same way you'll lose them potentially, yeah. right? So if I'm beautiful and I'm young and that's how I steal someone's man or I get a guy, I'm not going to be young forever. So eventually, if that's the only thing keeping him attracted to me, he's going to replace me like Leonardo, like Leo style, like only dates like 25 and younger, right?
Yeah,
like
he's doing it right.
He's doing it. You know what? That's how I'm toxic sign number 10,053. So like, yeah, like at the end of the day, like a real alpha woman, in my opinion, is a woman that is coming to the table whole, right? She knows herself. She knows her value, but that doesn't depreciate a man's value. And it, you know, at the end of the day, like she's not going to want a man that is only attracting her by wealth, because that shouldn't be a selling point. It should just be part of the package.
I feel like those women are on in the Northeast.
Northeast, like they're not like they're yeah. just away on an island, yeah, separate yeah, yeah. from everybody. I mean, at the end of the day,
or
like
in the Midwest or in the Northwest,
we're in a very skewed like place.
We're in a polarizing area.
A polarizing area, exactly. Yeah. So like, it's not really fair to say how people really are. But at the end of the day, like I think a woman that is high value is looking for a man that can truly have an emotional connection, because that's going to be great for her future, for a healthy relationship. And if she wants a family, like she's going to look for those things, because what's the benefit of me being with a man that's always on the go, never home, and is looking for, you know, how I can flash everything I have and get attention.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want my dude to be wanting to get attention from every single person. Like, it's okay. Be on your platforms, do your thing. But like, my attention should be enough.
What should a guy look for in a girl now? If he's like, a guy comes to a spot, there's a bunch of good-looking women there, yeah. or women that he's attracted to, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to get a girl that obviously is not into you for mm-hmm. the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Like, how can a guy find that?
Yeah.
Like, how can you use discernment?
So I think using discernment is going to be someone that is, first of all, what are you leading with? Are you trying to get people's attention by what you have? Are you needing their validation of saying like, oh yeah, I got, like, I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations with guys and they list off everything they have. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, I really don't care. Like, you don't need to tell me that. I want to know what you can bring to the table in terms of a conversation.
So what's the first date? What you looking like?
First date with me? Well, I have a pre-date. I don't go on dates until I have a pre-date.
FaceTime?
No, because you never really know until like you're in front of somebody,
so
I think.
So your pre-date is like coffee shop?
Of time and energy.
So that's like a walk?
No, you know, it's like a coffee, because I think people's biggest mistake when they're trying to like find their
partner. Is going somewhere crazy off top?
No, not that. Like, I think that could be cool. But like being stuck at like a dinner with somebody that you're like definitely not interested in is such a waste of time. So I like to do pre-dates where I'm like, all right, let's just grab a quick coffee. Let's grab a quick drink.
Is it 15 minutes,
you know,
20
maybe
minutes?
Like one shows up like an hour later. So I could be like, all right, like, you know, I'm just playing.
So basically you have like a, so you do a pre-date block. So you got one dude coming out.
Well, I schedule my meetings, you know,
you got one
same
dude
way.
Coming out 1:30.
I'm very efficient with my dating.
I figured.
No, I'm joking. I actually thought about, I was like, can I do like group dates where
you
I just
could.
Like, you know, have everybody there yeah. and be like, yes, no, yes, maybe type of thing. You know?
Could.
No, but like,
so,
you know,
so what's
I give
pre-date?
Everyone a fair chance.
Because I feel like people weren't pre-dating. So what's pre-dating?
Pre-date's like, okay, let's go out for like a drink and see what the conversation's like. Let's see what we talk about. Like, if you're
enriching
something.
So it's like a discovery call.
Yeah, exactly. And then the closing call. No, the setting. Yeah.
The setting is the date.
The setting is the date.
So what type of questions are you asking?
And the close about? Comes like way after.
Yeah. I bet. One call closes. One call closes over here.
One shot would kill.
So what's going on in the pre-date? What type of questions are being asked here?
So, I mean, I like to know, like, you know, what someone is working on right now. Like, what inspires them? Like, nothing bothers me more than when people are like, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, my God. I feel like I'm on an interview. Like, ask me what inspires me, what I'm passionate about. Like, get to know me, you know? Mm-hmm. Because those are questions that are going to ultimately tell you, is this a good fit? So there's, like, compatibility and chemistry that I look for. Because, say, for example, we have amazing chemistry. Amazing. But you're 10 years younger than me. Chances are... We're probably not going to be compatible.
Why not? You can't. You don't want like a young.
I've tried that. I've tried. No, it doesn't work.
You want a young gunner?
I mean, I love my young guys, but I love my older guys too. You know, but at the end of the day, like, I want to have a family. I want to, you know, I have goals in the next few years, but like, they're thinking like, oh, in, you know, 10 years, I'm going to want to do that. Not now.
What's a red flag for you?
There's a, you want the list?
Yeah. Hit me with like four.
Four red flags. Okay.
Make them good too. I know basic weird stuff.
All right. Here's one thing I look for.
Teeth?
Oh, you mean physical?
Just
I'll
in
do
general.
Two non-physical, two physical.
All right, cool.
All right, so when I'm talking to somebody and I ask you a question like, so what inspires you, right? And you give me this long thing and you tell me something really meaningful and you don't ask me anything back, I'm wondering, I'm like, do you want to get to know me? Like, is it like, why aren't you asking me something in return so we can have a connection?
Gotcha.
So that's one thing I look for.
It's kind of like how this interview is going. Like, you didn't really ask me nothing.
I've asked you a lot of questions.
Cap. Okay.
You're so needy.
Go ahead.
Clinger.
What's another flag?
Another flag is probably if they are, like, the languages and words they use, if they're, like, more negative. I don't like being around negative. So if, like, they're like, oh, how was your day? Oh, I'm stressed out. Oh, like, you know, whatever. Like, I literally will be like, nah. Like, I want to be.
And these are on a pre-date.
This is on a pre-date. Okay. I can just tell by the words you use to describe your life and your situation if I think that there's a chance that we'll be together.
All right. What's two physical red flags?
Physical red flags, dirty shoes.
Or dirty shoes?
Yeah, bro.
And then what's another one? Man, my shoes are dirty. She's capping right now.
Show them the shoes. Let them know. No, I'm playing.
You want me to take my shoe off and hold it this thing?
So I don't like dirty shoes. I don't know what it is, but I've been right about
it.
I've been so right about dirty shoes.
But I've heard women, like, I think that's the thing. I think women, yeah, that's the thing with women. Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, they all know that you're saying? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I feel like, I don't know, I haven't really seen too many girls like be aware of it. Because I've seen some dudes talking to some chicks and I'm like, nah, stop talking to him because he's got some dirty shoes.
So dirty shoes and what else?
Too much flash. Like, it's so funny because I used to always be attracted.
I mean, most women are attracted to flash.
Are we not getting through the message here? So
I'm just keeping it a buck.
You know,
we're in Miami, so I'm trying to, right. You know, like, we're in Miami.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. I don't want to accusations here. Like, you know, I don't want to say anything, but I'm, as far as like, if you're trying too hard to get that attention,
yeah.
You'd like, you're looking for validation, but like at the same time,
I see.
Like, why are you not enough? And like, I love to be sexy. I love to, you know, whatever, be how I feel comfortable. And that's why, like, it goes back to, and this is probably tying into, I'll give you a bonus one. So I'll give you five things I look for. Because I used to be attracted to, like, to really loud guys, like the alpha in the room, seemingly, like the one that everyone was around. He was the center of attention. And I find myself now attracted to the quiet guy because I think he's the real alpha because he's observing everything around him and he's being calculating. Like, he's like, you know, observing, and then he's taking action.
Gotcha.
And I find that really, like, attractive.
So can you be submissive?
I love being submissive.
You see how the whole mannerism switched up? She was like, I love being submissive.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do.
You think that's important?
It depends, because some guys want dominated.
You want a guy to lead you?
Oh, wait, hold on. Let's be more specific. Do you mean, like, in the bedroom, or do you mean in a relationship?
Or both.
Yeah. So, I mean, some guys want a dominant girl sexually, so that could be different depending on what the guy wants. But in a relationship, I think it's definitely imperative for a female to know how to be submissive because it is more of a feminine energy to be submissive.
So what does that mean?
So innately, as a man, you have things on your body that are, like, you know, meant to go, like, you know what I mean? Like you, I'm a woman, I'm meant to receive. You're a man, you're meant to penetrate.
Mm.
So because of that, as a woman, it's more innate within us to be receiving.
Got it.
Same with energy. That's why men are more attracted to women when they're kind of more, like, not so all over. They're more, like, laid back. They're able to, like, let in. They're able to attract. They're able to let it flow. And so in my opinion, like, a true, like, feminine energy is, like, sitting back in your power, knowing you're beautiful and radiant, and also being able to receive a man's energy. Like, you're that, like, you know, like, place where he can rest his head and be like, everything's okay. And I don't think enough men get that these days.
Yeah. What do you feel like you can add to a relationship with a guy?
I'm the ultimate girlfriend. I really am the ultimate girlfriend. Like, I am supportive, like, all these things. No, I really, I mean, I think the last, like, probably five relationships, I've broke up with the guy.
But you're single right now.
Yeah, I broke up with the guy.
So you're single right now?
Yeah, I'm single.
So the ultimate girlfriend single right now?
It is, yeah. I'm very selective.
You take applications below in the chat?
I mean, yeah, don't DM me. No, I mean...
So what's the ultimate girlfriend?
Like, so
what's
I'll say, do you want me to be specific as to me or what I think a woman should be?
Is it much different?
No, but I think I'm more probably extra because I've been through bad situations.
All right, let's stay with four things that make you an ultimate girlfriend.
So, and this goes back to the book and my character. I'm the star. So as a star, I'm hypervigilant. So I can detect when somebody's
hypervigilant.
So I know, like, if your energy is off, like, I'm going to know. If, like, something is, like, bothering you and you went through something at work that you're like, you don't want to tell me, I'm going to be like, what's wrong? Tell me what's going on. You know what I mean? And they've done a study where the thing that leads to a relationship success the most, like, out of anything, not looks, not fighting, not anything, it's the partner's ability to pick up when your person is going through something and communicate and be there for them when they're going through something and to be that support system. So for me, like, it's just inherent. Like, I'm just that way in general. So, like,
right, so
I'm going to say, so hypervigilant, yeah. Supportive.
Okay.
So, like, I think it's super crucial to be, like, not to overgive, because I think there's men, you don't want to be in your masculine energy by taking action. You don't want to be like, I'm going to fix his problem, because men don't want that. Men want to be able to tell you the problem. They want to fix it. You know what I mean? That's being able to be in your feminine energy. So you be able to be, I be a sounding board to you when you're going through something and be your support system through being there for you and receiving you. And then I think that being, you know, sexual is very important, like wanting to keep things fresh. Like, I love being sexy. I love sex. Like, all those things are important to have and to, you know, want to please. Like, I think that's exciting because I think the more you want to please, the more they want to please you. So I think it's a win-win. And then I would say probably being vulnerable and being intimate with somebody. So someone that I feel like I can be very, like, connecting with my partner on, like, a deeper level. And it creates a very strong bond. I've had phenomenal relationships just because I'm not with them anymore. I mean, I've had some of the most incredible relationships. And I'm not, like, I don't take them back, you know, because they were all a learning lesson. And they're all meant for me to write this book.
Got you. Got you, man. So you use all your relationships and experiences to put this book together.
Yeah.
Exactly. Where can I get the book at?
So the book is going to be on Amazon.com on October 14th, which is next Saturday. So please get your copy.
Or depending on when you watch this, it could be out.
It could be out already. Yeah. So it's going to be on Audible. So that it's only like a couple hours, y'all. So, like, it's not that long. Put your headphones in when you're at the gym and just listen to it, because I guarantee you're going to find something incredible when you get out of it. It's going to be distributed at Barnes & Noble, Walmart in December. So it's kind of going to be trickled out. So Amazon, you can get it already on pre-order, though. So if you guys want it, you want to be like, I want to be first in line, you can get it on Amazon right now. But if you want to wait to the 14th, or if this is already past the 14th of October 2023, you can get your copy online.
And are you going to do like an ebook? Because I definitely want you to have like a mini course with the book. You
gotta
do something like that.
I know, I need to. So I'm working on a course right now. Basically where people can dive deeper into their toxic language and find out more. But in the book, I do give like referrals out to people that I think are actual like pros at these specific things. Because again, I'm not a psychologist. I'm just leading the people to the water. It's your decision to drink. And like at the end of the day, I know there's people that are very well versed in this that have the credentials to do this. But I definitely give them a lot of helpful insights that helped me personally. And so with that, like, I kind of like do that. But in the future, I will have more resources available, and my website will be, it's 5toxiclanguages.com. So take your quiz, find out what toxic language you are, because it's going to let you know the dark side of your love.
So 5toxiclanguages.com.
Yeah.
Is that a F-I-V-E or the number 5?
Number 5.
So the number 5,
yep.
toxiclanguages.com. Go there, grab the book. And then how do they get in contact with you? Like, how could they learn more about what you got going on?
Yeah, so 5toxiclanguages on Instagram. You can tune in, the number 5 again. And you can tune in. I'm going to have a lot of content that I'll be posting that explains the characters, that gives insight. Like, I think it's fun because the way that I go about it is so facetious that it's like, it keeps it light. Like, we don't need to make it so heavy. Like, we can make it like transparent and have a conversation about it. At the end of the day, what we're doing is we're opening up the door for conversation. We're letting it be like not such a hush-hush that you got cheated on, or hush hush that someone did you wrong. Like, bring it to the light and, like, you know, talk about it. So Five Toxic Languages on Instagram, and then Dinah Sade, obviously, on Instagram as well. You can follow me. I post a lot of content all the time on, you know, my beliefs on love and just like other people's like helpful insights and all that. So,
all right, we're gonna leave off with a couple last things.
Yeah.
So, what do you feel like could help guys right now? What's like one thing based on what you're seeing, relationships, how guys are kind of interacting? What do you feel like one thing when a guy approaches a woman, or if they're in a relationship, what's one thing they should know that could help them?
Well, I feel like it's going to be really trite to say this, but literally just be your fucking self. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've been like, oh, that's how the person really is. Like, they're very attractive. Like, their personality is very attractive, but they had this whole facade up when they came to me thinking they had to be a certain way. But like, when a guy approaches me and he's like, this is nothing, like, you're a friend, like, I don't have to like act or be someone I'm not. Like, it's the most refreshing thing ever. Like, just be who you are. Like, I love all kinds of, I love the dorky guys. I love the, you know, business guys. I, you know, like, I find like all of those things attractive because they're genuine. And when they're like in, like, there's something I heard recently and my friend's gonna laugh right now, but basically it's the highest level of frequency is authenticity. And there's something about that vibration when you can feel it from somebody. It doesn't matter who you are. It's like you can resonate on that level. It's like, wow, like this is very attractive, you know?
And what about the same thing for women? What's something you feel like women should know about men that you know?
Oof. I mean, I'm not acting like I'm an expert. I'm still figuring it out.
Clearly.
So I can't. Wow. Low blows, huh?
Hey, listen.
Okay. I got it. You can't help it that you're toxic. I get it. You know?
What's one thing you feel like women should know about men from your experience?
Yeah, so I would say it's going to offend some people, but I'm not here to make everyone feel good. At the end of the day, like, we have baggage, right? And we could feel like we're getting red flags all over the place, but no man wants to hear you talk about all the things that went wrong in your last relationships and want that baggage to carry over. And for you, like, for me, at least I could say that I have been pretty good about... well, at least now I am, about saying, you know what, the past is the past. I'm going to let this be a fresh slate. You know, so I think coming into it, accepting this person, who they are, and getting to know them before you point the finger and before you say, you're just like this person, because what that's going to do is it's going to make somebody run away. You know, so at the end of the day, not bringing your baggage into a relationship and not revealing all your cards up front to say, like, all this stuff happened to me, you know, start off like, you know, processing your stuff first. You know, get to know yourself. For me personally, I went and spent 4 months in Europe by myself traveling the world, and it was the most liberating experience I've ever done. I was supposed to do it with my ex, right? So like, I decided, I'm like, you know, I'm still gonna go, I'm gonna do this. And through that experience, I learned to be so happy by myself that the next partner I'm gonna get is gonna be so happy because they don't need to make me happy. I'm already thrilled, I'm already happy. Like, I'm so excited about life. I'm like, oh my God, let's do this. Like, you know, life is such a blessing, and I just got to experience like life on my terms, and also like being able to kind of get away from everything and not being able to monkey branch into another relationship. It helped me work on myself. And so I would say to anyone, like, do the work on yourself, be alone for a little while, and truly discover and fall in love with who you are. Because a lot of times we think we can, you know, buying a car is self-love, or taking ourselves to the spa. Sometimes cutting people out of our life and pruning ourselves is the ultimate self-love act.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. Wait, I got some up my sleeve for you.
What you got?
Are you ready for this?
Do you even have sleeves?
Do I not have sleeves?
Okay.
What?
What you got?
All right. So we're going to do an activity. He doesn't know I'm doing this right now.
I definitely don't.
You're nervous. I can tell. Look at you.
Shit, what you got?
All right.
Going on?
So because my book is The Five Toxic Languages,
yeah,
right?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you to do something. Are you going to do it for me?
Yeah, of course.
All right. You got to find my red flag.
I got to find like a physical red flag?
I have a physical red flag on me right now. I'm going to stand up. So you might need to adjust the cameras, but you got to find the red flag. It's on me right now.
You have to. Oh, that's why you asked me if you stand up. So do we need to raise the cameras?
Yeah, we got to raise the cameras. All right. So the surprise of the night is that because Brandon's so good at knowing all the red flags, we're going to see if he can find my red flag. He's got two opportunities to find it.
Two opportunities.
And if he gets it, he's going to get a signed copy of it.
I was getting that anyway. That's cap. You think I wasn't
going to... He's crazy.
You think I wasn't going to get...
Absolutely. You thought it was going to be signed?
Definitely.
You crazy?
That's the least you could do.
Elite for what?
What do you mean?
Listen, I'm here to bless you right now.
Okay, cool. All right.
All right.
We in here.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. You get one choice first.
Is there any area I can't go?
You can touch it.
I can touch it.
I mean, yeah, you know the area you can't go, obviously.
That's why I'm asking. What area can I go? There's an area I can't go?
Yeah, no.
The woohoo. Everything else is cool?
I mean, you can't touch what you can obviously see is not there, bro. What the hell? See, you know what? All right.
All right, cool.
Touch where you think it is.
How many chances I got?
I said two.
Oh, okay. Well, clearly.
All right, so nothing here.
Yeah, but is
you
that...
You one more
does
chance.
Does that count?
Yes, it counts. You selected a place.
All right, hold on. Let me see what's going on over here.
Do you want me to turn around?
Yeah, go ahead. Turn around.
All right. That would have been the smart thing to ask from the beginning.
Oh, okay. Can you take off the jacket?
No, my fit is staying on.
Okay.
So where is it?
How big is it?
Yeah.
It's the size of a flag.
Like, also, it's like this?
American flag?
My cover, like the red flag on my cover.
The red flag on your cover?
The cover of my book, the red, you didn't, wow, he hasn't even looked at the cover.
She hasn't even, yeah, I haven't seen that part.
I showed you. All right, just guess.
Let me see.
My arms are getting tired.
I think I know where it is.
Oh, okay, it's right here.
Here?
Yeah, right there.
All right, so he thinks it's here.
Yeah, it's in there.
You think it's in here?
That thing's in there, yeah.
Does it look like it's here to y'all? Does that look like a red flag?
That's a mic.
What did I say to you when I was sitting down? What did I say?
Oh, can I?
Wouldn't know what I say.
You said that, could I stand up? Would I still be in the frame?
No, before that, I said I had something up my sleeve.
Oh, got you. That's what, look at that.
Go ahead and wave your red flag. Yeah. Look at your red flag. You're so toxic.
All right, listen, right there. All right, y'all, it's been another episode of the Honor Pursuit Podcast with Dinah
Sade.
Make sure you grab her brand new book, The 5 Toxic Languages. Go to the website, 5toxiclanguages.com. Do they get flags or is this just me?
Well, I'm going to give out more toxic flags, so be on the lookout.
And we'll see you guys on another episode.
Cheers.